So we're up to Parashat Vayishlach. Vayishlach Yaakov Malachim. Rashi says, you need something to say. Malachim Amish. Now, I'm not sure why Rashi says this, because the week before there were plenty of Malachim around, right? There were Malachim going up and down, there were Malachim at the end of the Parashat. So over here too we have Malachim. So keep that in mind. Now, we need a little bit of context to understand what's going on in the first part of Vayishlach. So the context is more or less like this. Yaakov is going back to Eretz Yisrael. If you remember, he left Eretz Yisrael for two reasons. Yes? He left because his mother told him to go, and he left because his father told him to go. Yes? Yes. And they didn't tell him for the same reason. Yitzchak told him to go find a wife. And Rivka said go because your brother wants to kill you. And what did she say go? She said go for a couple of days, yamim achadim. But we know when anybody from Lavan's family talks about numbers, you have to be very, very careful. Correct? Correct. So she said go for a little bit and I'll send a messenger. You know, I'll call you, I'll send you back. Now, we have no evidence that she ever did that. And she said, when he calms down. So we have no evidence, therefore, that he ever calmed down. There is a Rashi. Yeah, there is a Rashi that talks about Devorah, Menekes, Rivka, who was, because she died. And, you know, she's one of the people who dies and we never knew were alive. So there must be some purpose to telling us that she died. So therefore, Rashi brings a Masorah that maybe she was the one that Rivka had sent and it was okay to come back. Okay, so that's good. Because if that's the case, then maybe it's safe to come home. But if it's not the case, then maybe it's not safe to come home. Now, either way, you have an Esav who is a... Is it fair to call Esav a bloodthirsty murderer, or is that's not really fair? The only reason why I think it's fair is because I think that you should take someone's word for it. Someone says, I want to kill you, so then you listen to them and you protect yourselves. Correct or not correct? Correct. Right. You protect yourselves and you do what you need to do and, right? Little. Yeah, now you can agree with everything. You know, for you. Good. So when Esav says, I'm going to kill you, is it fair to... Listen, Yaakov runs away. So that we understand and that's good. But Yaakov has a problem. His problem is... Now, we don't know about Devorah, we don't know about Rivka, we don't know about any of that. We do know is one thing, and what's that? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Yaakov, it's time to go home. Okay, so it's time to go home. So he starts to go home, but he still has a problem. Now, I'm going to read from the beginning of the parasha. Perek Lamed Bet, Pasuk Dalid. Vayishlach Yaakov Malachim Lefanav El Esav Achiv Arta Seir Sedei Edom Vayitzav Otam Lemar Kol Tamru La'adoni La'esav. So it's the first thing which is introduced to my master Esav, just in case you missed that. Ko Amar Avdecha Yaakov, so said your servant Yaakov. Im Lavan Garti Ve'ichar Ad Ata. I was living with Lavan and I was delayed till now. Now the problem is that when you're growing up and you read this pasuk, you only read, oh, in love of Garti, Vitariv Mitzvah Shamarti, and that's all that you get, and therefore you have no idea what the pasuk actually said. So what did the pasuk say? Because it said some very interesting things. And in order to understand this, I want to say something very simple and I hope it's clear. In order to understand this parsha, and by the way, I think it may be one of the things to understand all of Sefer Bereshit, you need to do something very simple, and I'll call that follow the brachot. Right? Follow, it's very easy, by the way. There aren't so many brachot, you just follow them as they go. So, we had back in Parsha Toldot, we had three different brachot, correct? Yes? No? Maybe? Three different brachot. we have the bracha that Yitzchak gave to Yaakov when he thought he was Esav. We have the bracha that Yitzchak gives to Esav when he knows he's Esav. And we have the bracha that Yitzchak goes to Yaakov when he knows he's Yaakov. Good? So, the confusion that sometimes we have is that we think that Yitzchak really, really loved Esav. I'm not saying he didn't love him. I just said he really loved Esav. That I'm not sure of. That he really loved Esav to the extent that if you would have asked Yitzchak, how are the Jews going to daven in 3,000 years from now, they would say, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Esav. Yes or no? One second. Is that an important question? When we're told that Yitzchak loves Esav, wants to give him a bracha, so I'm asking a very simple question. Obviously, from our perspective, it would indicate that Yitzchak was confused. So my question is, how confused was he? Was he so confused that he was going to say, Elokei Esav? Or that, no, it's Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, but no Elokei Esav. What are you talking about? So I'm saying, how can we... I'll say over what I said. You don't have to quote me to me. I can say what I said. I also read it, so. It's not always the case. Correct. So, I would say, Shimon Shapharel Hirsch, whose real name was not Shimon Shapharel Hirsch, you know that, right? His name wasn't Raphael. His name was Shimon Hirsch. His father's name was Raphael. When his father died, he took his father's name. This seems to be such a yeki minhag. Don't ask me why. But he took his father's name as a memory to his father, and he became Shimshon Raphael Hirsch. I'm not making this up. It's true. Anyway, Rav Hirsch was a wonderful mechanech, and generally in Germany, they were better at chinuch than they were in certain other places. You know, in Lita, either you learned or you're an amaretz. There really wasn't much in between. In Germany, they did much better chinuch, and you can say it very quietly, but it also better chinuch for the girls. There was no such thing as chinuch for girls in other places. And Rav Hirsch, one of his banners was chinuch, and everybody deserves chinuch, and chinuch should be on the right level. There was a famous argument between Rav Breuer, follower of Rav Hirsch, and Rav Dessler. Rav Dessler said, you throw everyone to the highest level, 1,000 into yeshiva, and you'll produce one gadol hadar. But by the way, do you also realize the problem with that? You end up sacrificing 999 to produce one gadol hadar, but that's an overstatement, because you have one success, and then you have degrees of success, but you do have the bottom 10%, 20%, 30%, which ended up, the system failed them. They ended up not getting anywhere because you gave the highest standards to everybody. Rav Hirsch said, what are you talking about? Let's take the intellectual, religious, spiritual elite, put them in a yeshiva, but let's have a proper chinuch for everybody else. So this was one of the issues that Rav Hirsch, you know, fought about, and then he got to Parshas Toldos, and he attacked nice Jewish parents, Yitzchak and Rivka, and said that they did terrible. He said, why did they fail? And of course, blame the parents. Why did they fail? Because they gave the exact same chinuch to Yaakov and to Esav, which is a beautiful idea. That's what I was responding to, but I didn't quote it. It's a wonderful, wonderful idea, except for one problem. It's just not true. Because what does it say in the Chumash? It says that Yitzchak and Rivka have two children. And you have to realize and appreciate because there's a little bit of an unfortunate joke over here. I'm Kaddish Baruch Hu played the joke. What's the joke? He gave him two kids. One of the kids reminds Yitzchak and Rivka of Avram Avinu, sits in the tents, spiritual. And the other one reminds them of Nimrod. But he's a hunter. He's the only other hunter who's mentioned in the Chumash till now. So what do you do when you have a kid who's like... This, by the way, this should be no question. The spiritual son is Yaakov. Yaakov's the one who's following. There's no question about this. On the other hand, if I can quote myself, what I pointed out is that there's an unbelievable Targum Yonasan that says that Eliezer, Eved Avram, was actually the son of Nimrod, which is beautiful. It means that Nimrod tries to kill Avraham, and Avram's Makarev, his kid. By the way, the Targum Yonasan also says that Hagar was the son, was the daughter of Paro, who was in turn the son of Nimrod. So Avram, again, that's the problem. You started with Amor Avinu. Yeah, you try to kill him. Kodesh Baruch Hu's got his back, and he's Makar of your whole family. So if that's the case, then it could well be. You can say, Avram Avinu and his family, right, he had some muscle. Who was his muscle? His muscle was Eliezer. Goes out to war, 380 people. You know, Rashi, Gematria, Eliezer. So therefore, he's got Eliezer as his muscle. So Yitzhak sees this. He's got a kid who reminds him of Nimrod. He says, no, maybe I can do an Eliezer with him. Maybe I can use him as the muscle for Yaakov. He'll be involved in the spiritual, in the physical world. He'll be involved in the spiritual world. And maybe we'll find some way for them to all to work this out together. And that seems to be the Havamina. So therefore, but on the other hand, Rivka has inside information. Mamish, inside information. She's pregnant and she's very troubled, so she goes and she says to God, what's going on? And he only had to say one thing. You're carrying twins, it'll be okay. But that's the problem, talking to God. God gave too much information, right? What did God say? You're carrying twins, and the old one's going to be a loser. At that point, we have a problem. At that point, we have a problem. Rivka, by the way, never communicates with Esav. Esav never communicates with Rivka. There's no course relationship whatsoever. We all know that Esav had kivit of aim, right? No, he only had kivit of. There's a couple of places in the Chumash. It's black. It's so black and white. It's amazing. It says that that when he married the Canaanite girls, it was mora, right? It was burning. It troubled his mother and his father. And then later on, it says Esav realized that it bothered his father. Mother didn't care. Didn't. But on the other hand, it could very well be that he responded to what he felt from her, and she knew what he's going to end up with, which, by the way, all of this could be a self-fulfilling prophecy, as you all realize. Okay, so let's get back to our problem. We have two brachot. The first bracha he wants to give to Esav. What is that a bracha of? Content.
Physical.
How do you know? Because that's what it says. What is the content of that bracha? Two things. Physical is good, but what is it? Money and power. Power and money. That's what it is. Vayitein l'cha Elokim mital shemayim mishmnei aretz v'rov dagon v'tirosh. Yavducha amim v'yishtachavu l'cha l'umim hevegvir l'achecha v'yishtachavu l'cha b'nei imecha. Baruch ha'arur v'recha baruch. Money and power. That was supposed to go to Esav. Now, we all know how the story works out, and that is that Rivka decides that, and now I'm not sure what to say next. Could be all of you know, I don't know. I'm not sure what to say next. I'm not sure if Rivka's consideration was that Yaakov should get this bracha as well, which is the way that Yitzchak ends up saying it, but I have a big question on this. Or maybe Rivka's thought was, not that Yaakov should get it, but that Esav shouldn't get it. So I'm really not sure. If you could bring me proof one way or the other, I'd be very happy. But I'm not sure which way that goes. Now, Yaakov walks in dressed up as Esav. Yes? And that's the makor that we dress up on Purim. Correct? It is. Anyway. May not be. I made it up. But it should be. Because you could say that why does Amalek hate us? Amalek hates us because Esav sent us Yaakov. Why does Esav hate Yaakov? Because he stole the bracha. So why does Haman come along? Because he's from Amalek. And why? Because he hates us. He has a Masorah that he hates us. So you can say, had Yaakov never dressed up as Esav, then we never would eat it. So why do we dress up? He goes, no, we did the right thing. This is what Rivka said to do. It's the right thing to do, so that's why we dress up on Purim. You didn't think I would be that good, right? Now everyone's afraid anyway, so it doesn't make a difference. Okay. So, he dresses up, and does he lie when he says, I am Esav, your firstborn? So, in reality, and this is very, very deep reality, in reality, he's not lying. He's telling the truth. Why is he telling the truth? Because he bought off of him the firstborn, he bought off him the Bechorah. He bought from him, which, by the way, also needs to be explained. Yitzchak believes there can be a partnership. The two of them are going to work together. There's going to be a Yaakov and an Esav team. That's what he always tells them. Yaakov and Esav team. You guys are going to work together. Esav's going to take care of the physical. Yaakov's going to take care of the spiritual. Rivka says your brother's a loser. Now, by the way, you have to feel bad for Yaakov. He's going through life. His father's telling him one thing. His mother's telling him something else. How do you know what's right? And now, let's get back to Rav Hirsch. Rav Hirsch says that he gives him the same chinuch, but he doesn't. What does the pasuk say? And it's a difficult pasuk. It says, A, that Esav is Ish, right? And he, Okay, you want to get to the next pasuk. Good. It says Yaakov. I was going to go to the pasuk before you. The next pasuk. Good. It says that Yitzchak ohevis Esav kitzayid befiv. He loves him because of the hunt in his mouth. And don't tell me, again, don't tell me Rashi, don't get confused. Why does he love him? He says he loves him because he brings him food. Kitzayid befiv. What's the biggest proof that that's correct? But he wants to give him the bracha. What does he say? Go out, go hunting and bring me food. What does Yitzchak do as a father and as a mechanech? What does he do? He sees Esav's strength. But this is beautiful. What's Esav's strength? He's a hunter. He's killing things. So what does he tell him to do? He gives him a tzivoy. He says, he goes, Esav, go out and hunt for me. So now what just now happened when he goes and hunts for him? He turns the hunting into a mitzvah. Right? He turns the hunting into the mitzvah. By the way, there's very, very similar, what I'm saying now is not easy, but there's a very similar dynamic, if you look at the Ramban, in terms of the Seir La'Azazel, it's a very, very similar thing. I'm telling you to do it, and that's what makes it into a mitzvah. There's a chapter on this in Al HaTshuva, which I'm telling you, this is the exact same idea of what comes from, and it comes from the way that Yitzchak treats Esav. Okay. It says that Yitzchak loves Esav, Kitzayid Befiv, Rivko Hevizis Yaakov. Which is the more normal thing? The mother loves the child. Not because. No, mother loves a child. Which means, therefore, Yitzchak doesn't really love Esav without conditions. He loves him and he tries to find a way to raise him in mechanechim. So now he wants to give him a bracha. Go out, go hunting and bring me food and whatever. Rivka sends Yaakov in. Now, okay, let me go back one second. Let me go back. Yaakov doesn't lie. How do I know he doesn't lie? Because he bought the bechorah. How did he buy the bechorah? Esav comes in from the field and he sees Yaakov making cholent. Right? It is cholent, right? I don't know what else it could possibly be. And he says to him, give me food. Why? Because I'm going to die, and I'm tired. Never says I'm hungry. I'm tired. By the way, that itself is strange. I'm tired. Remember about tired, because that's important. I'm tired. Give me food. Yaakov then says, hold it a second. I'm giving you food? You're the one who's supposed to bring me food. At that moment, he realized that his mother was right. And he says, fine, I'll give you food, but you give me the bechorah. Okay, just like that. At that moment, Yaakov realizes his mother is right. Esav's too tired. He's tired of plying to make his father happy. Do you know how tiring it is when you're not the person your father thinks you are? Of course, his father knows who he is, but his father's trying to make him into something else. His father's trying to tame the beast and turn him into somebody who's a mensch. Esav's tired of this. Maspikfar, chalas, enough, I can't do this anymore. And he says, you give me food. He goes, fine. You give me the bechorah. Now, did Esav think he was ripped off? No, he thought it was the best deal he ever made in his life. The Yivas Esav is a Bechora. He detested the Bechora. So now when Yaakov goes in, and let's also be honest, this totally ruins Yaakov's life. When Yaakov goes in, and Yitzchak says, who is this? He goes, I'm Esav, your firstborn. Why? He bought it. See, I'm not saying that the Bracha and the Bechora are interrelated, but I am saying is that Yaakov now has to lead two lives. Yaakov starts off as an Ishtam Yoshev Ohalim. Don't you realize his life got ruined because he gets the Bracha? Taking the Bracha, taking the Bechora, now he has two lives. Now he's both Yaakov and he's Esav. Now he has to marry Rachel and he has to marry Leah. He's no longer one person. He's now become two different people. Yaakov goes in. Yeah, I'm Esav. He gives him food. Yitzchak knows there's something wrong. First of all, he's talking too nicely. Right? If you compare what Yaakov says when he comes in to what Esav says when he comes in, Esav is gruff and he's rough, and Dad, get up and give me a bracha now, this, that. Yaakov walks in and he's calm and he's polite and he talks nicely. And how'd you get here so quickly? God provided for me. So then Yitzchak says something fascinating. What does he say? He says, are you really, who are you? So he says, again, I'm Esav, your firstborn. He finally makes a statement. What's the statement that he makes? He feels him. Now when he says, Akol kol Yaakov, he died to Esav. Question. How did he finish that? With a question mark or with an exclamation point? If there's a question mark, then he should have stopped right then. I don't know who this person is. So the person in front of me is psychotic. I don't know who he is. He's having a breakdown. I don't know if it's Yaakov or Esav. I can't go further to give a bracha. The fact that he's willing to give the bracha right now means what? It means that Esav is talking like Yaakov. If Esav's talking like Yaakov, I've succeeded. I've turned Esav into a mensch. Yes? He's yes?
Yeah, we just heard it from somebody. We heard it in your name from somebody else.
Okay. Okay. Should I stop or should I keep on going? So he thinks he succeeded at that moment.
Maybe the opposite.
I'll come to that in a second. But at that moment, he thinks that he succeeded in turning Esav. Unless you want to follow the Beis Halevi, who obviously watched too much television as a kid. And I can tell you, which you watch Get Smart. There's no other way. What's his cheshbon? His cheshbon was that Esav knows that Yaakov's going to try to steal from him again. So he goes in and he says to Yitzchak, he goes, I'm going to come, but Yaakov may try to steal it. But if Yaakov tries to steal it, he's going to talk like me. So I'm going to talk like Yaakov. So if somebody comes in talking like Yaakov, so then you know that it's really Esav. So then Yitzchak goes, oh, it worked. Hakol kol Yaakov yidayim de Esav. You like that? Well, that's But you realize what's bothering him. What's bothering is how in the world does he say Hakol kol Yaakov yidayim de Esav? Okay, let's continue. It's the continue that, so it must be an exclamation point, which that is why I'm saying it must be that he thinks he succeeded. Yeah. Say that again. He really didn't. It's also part of the fake, but. I said, compare it. Compare how Esav speaks to how Yaakov speaks. It's very, very. Right. But it's more than Shem Hashem. It's Shem Hashem, but it's also just compare the two, and you'll see it. It jumps out at you how the two of them speak. Okay, Yitzchak, Esav goes in, and then then what does it say about Yitzchak? Vayichred Yitzchak harada gedola, right? Ad ma'od. He's terrified because what does he realize? He realized that he had it all wrong. He realizes it wasn't that Esav has channeled his inner Yaakov. It's that Yaakov has channeled his inner Esav. And that's far more interesting. Whoever thought you can take a yeshiva bacher and turn him into a businessman? To take a businessman and teach him daf yomi, maybe. But to take a yeshiva bacher and make him successful in life? Whoever imagined such a thing? No offense. So Esav says, it's like the Wizard of Oz, do you have anything left in the bag for me? You have any what does Yitzchak say? No. Your brother took your bracha. Then at the end of the parsha, when Yitzchak tells Yaakov to go away, he says, I'm giving you Birchas Avraham, I'm giving you Eretz Yisrael, and you should have many children. Which means he knows exactly what he gives. Now, next week, Vayetze, the next parsha, Yaakov runs away. He's got all the brachas in the world except for one problem. It's all in futures. None of it's in terms of the present. He goes to sleep that night. What does he check into? Best hotel? No, he sleeps on the ground. What does he have as a pillow? He's got a rock. And God speaks to him. Now, first of all, the fact that God speaks is unbelievable. Because maybe Yaakov would think God never spoke to him before. Maybe you think God is mad at him. What does God say to him when he speaks to him? Better. What does God not say to him? Which is far more annoying of a question. So what does God say? You look at follow the brachot. What does he say to him? The land that you're lying on isn't yours. Children, right? You'll have lots of children. What doesn't he say to him? What he doesn't say to him is the brachas that he stole. That God neglects to mention. How does Yaakov respond to that? What does he say? Okay, give me bread to eat and clothing on my back. I'll give you 10% and let's call it a day. Which means Yaakov doesn't seem at all to ever believe he's getting those other brachas. Now can we skip over to this week's parsha? We'll come to the angel. Good. We'll come to the angel. Excellent. So then we get to this week's parsha. So what am I saying again and again? Follow the brachas. What does Yaakov do in this week's parsha? So again, you studied Rashi, you'll say, oh, it's parsha what he does, and it's pshat. What does he do? He has a three-pronged plan. What is it? Strategy, which is military, that's divided into camps. Attacks one camp, the other camp goes free. What's the second plan? The second one is you pray, right, which is always a good plan. And finally, bribery. If you touch the situation, bribery. So that's the plan. And that's all true. Everything we just now said is true, but we missed the pshat. What is it that Yaakov's plan is? Yaakov's plan, I'm going to say it, black and white. Yaakov's plan is to take the bracha that he stole from Esav and give it back to him. What do the brachas say? What were the elements of it? Shtachavu b'nei mecha. Right, bro? So why does he, now tell me, why does he bow down? To show Esav's not bowing down to him, he's bowing down to him. Why does he give him all of this stuff? Because you got the bracha, all the stuff is yours. Anything else there that's missing? Money and power. What does he call him every single time throughout the thing? Adoni, Avdecha. Which means Yaakov's strategy over here is to say, no, nothing worked over here for me. It's all yours. I'm bowing down to you. I'm giving you things. This is the way that it works. So again, that I see black and white. A matter of fact, he even says it when they go back and forth and he tries to give him his bribery. Vayomer Esav, Yeshli Rav. What does it mean, Yeshli Rav? Doesn't mean I have a rabbi. Yeshli Harbe. Even though I have some Talmidim like Esav, it doesn't mean that. It means Yeshli Harbe, Yeshli Rav. Yehi Lacha Asher Lach. Vayomer Yaakov, Al No Im Natsasi Chen Benechav, Alakachtim Chasim Yadi. I'm skipping a pasuk. Kach Na Ed Birchati. One second. Do you think that's the right word for Yaakov to use with this particular individual? Kach na birchati. But I think that this is exactly what's on Yaakov's mind. This is exactly what Yaakov's doing. So everything is good. Everything makes sense. Except for one thing which really disappoints me. Profoundly. Profoundly disappoints me. He gave the bracha back to him. Take it. I don't want it.
It's all future focused. And he's like, what is it?
No, he's Esav. One second, in history, did No, I'm saying, in history, did we have power and money? Only if you read anti-Semitic newspapers. Read anti-Semitic newspapers, we control everything. And that's the joke, the Jews like to read anti... Do we have power and money? World history, did this work? Okay, let me now try again. There's one thing which disappoints me in this parsha. And that's the star of the parsha. He disappoints me terribly. And who's that? Esav. When Yaakov and Esav meet up, what should Esav do? Kill him. Yaakov is such chutzpah. What's Yaakov's chutzpah? He sends him gifts. Can you guys channel your inner Esav? Yaakov sends you a gift. Now, how are you supposed to feel? Oh! It's almost Christmas. Yaakov sending me a gift. This is so nice. Is that really what Esav is going to... Again, what should Esav say?
That's mine, right?
All of this is mine. Can you imagine somebody broke into your house and stole $100,000 and sends you a $500 check? Here, I just want to be nice to you. Here's a check. How would you say? You say, oh, thank you. I'm going to ask you again. Can you get in touch with your inner Esav? Your inner Esav. How do you respond to this? You take a rusty nail and you stick it in his eye. No, that's Esav, who we love and respect. What's the matter with you people? See, they're all yeshiva bach. Can you guys try this even? If you don't try to understand Esav, how are you going to understand the parsha? Esav is such a disappointment. Not for the reason Yitzchak thought. He's such a disappointment. What does he do when he sees Yaakov? He's a wuss. He sees him, he kisses him, he hugs him. They both cry. What is this? What happened to murder and mayhem? One second. Is this a good question or is this a terrible question? What happened? And what's more interesting is that their fight, their battle, was foreshadowed twice. When was the first time that it was foreshadowed? When? What Nevuah? In utero. That's what she feels. She feels something unnatural. She feels something going on. So Kodesh Baruch explains. Yes, the Medrash is very nice that he wanted to get out by the shul. I don't know what shul it was then. He wanted to get out by the Shem Be'Aver, I guess. Whenever there's a problem in Bereshis, it's solved. Oh, it was Shem Be'Aver. And he wanted to get out by the local Avodah Zarah shop. Say it there. But they're struggling. It says, Yiratzitzu. The Chumash says it. They're struggling inside. Where's the second time you have foreshadowing of this? Is the night before. And that's, and that's, to me, is what's amazing. The night before, they struggle and they fight, and then they get it up in the morning, and then Esav himself is all, he found his feminine side, he found his inner, I don't know, what happened over here? Right? Do you all agree that Esav has become this profound disappointment, ruined the Parsha? We could have had a bloodbath, and this could have been far more exciting. And instead, what do we have? We have Esav acting all wimpy. So, that, by the way, I am so serious about these questions that I'm asking now. I'm really serious about this. So what happened?
We haven't seen yet. We haven't seen Esav in 20 years.
Okay. And Esav shows up with 400 men. So you're going to tell me it was a marching band. He wanted to put on a musical for him. No! He shows up. He's preparing with soldiers. The last time we saw him, he said, I'm going to kill you. Now he shows up with all these soldiers. Again, motive. What? We can't build a case against him? Of course we can. So what happened is a better question than you're allowing for right now by saying we haven't seen him in 20 years. Correct. And he's collected 400 bloodthirsty soldiers to be joining him to come and to lefarek et Yaakov kamo shetzarich. Did you say that in English? Okay. So that's what bothers me. And then we get to, obviously, the best part of the parsha. The reason why it's obvious is, of course, it's the part that nobody understands. And that is Perek Lamed Bet, Pasuk Kaf Hei. V'yivater Yaakov levado. Because he didn't want Esav to kill him. And it hasn't brought him any happiness in his life. And most importantly, God has spoken to him a number of times, never said anything about this. God keeps talking to him and keeps saying, I'm giving you the land of Israel, I'm giving you children. What does God never say to him? The things that he took. Could be that he feels, maybe this really is supposed to be mine. Bad karma.
Why did Rivka send Deborah if Esav had not come down?
So as I said that in the beginning, that I'm not sure of. Like I said, there's a problem with Deborah, that Rivka doesn't seem to send anyone unless you accept that Midrash there, Rashi quotes regarding Deborah. So maybe she thought he did calm down. By the way, I could defend Rivka. Look, he's right. She's right. I mean, at the end, it did work out. It was just a little interesting till then. Yes?
Did Esav just give up on his reasoning till after he's like that?
So it's also a question over here. It's a good question because he's still alive. But you know what? Maybe he forgot over years. And by the way, Esav, therefore, is much more of a mention than the brothers of Yosef because they're ready to kill him when their father's still alive. Yeah?
We just say, like, Esav's not that bad of a guy anymore.
Of course we could say that. Sure, and why are there 400 guys with him? Again, back to the marching band? Yes? And what am I going to ask you? So why does he... Can I ask it again? So why does he bring 400? So you're saying the appeasement works? Okay, the appeasement works. Okay, good. Chamberlain, yeah. It could be that being the Bechor takes the responsibility of, let's say, for example, of the Bris Bein HaBesarim, and now you have to be slaves for 400 years. I'm just saying it's possible. Yeah. No one wants to hear anything I have to say, I see. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, we'll do the math. A lot of wealth. Just pretty rich.
Okay, hold on to that. Let's go. I'll respond.
He's giving them back the profits.
He's trying to.
Right.
He's trying to.
He's giving them back.
Okay. Listen to this pasuk. Listen to this pasuk. And with all due respect, terrible editing. Okay? It is. What do you want me to say? Vayivater Yaakov levado. And Yaakov was all by himself. Vayavek ishimo adalot ha-shachar. And a man wrestled with him until the break of day. Now, all of us have very deep emotional problems because we're not troubled by this pasuk. Why? Because we're used to anti-Semitism. Oh, a Jew got beat up. You don't ask why was a Jew. He got beat up because he's a Jew. I mean, what kind of question is this? Can I ask you a question? A couple questions. Why does this person attack him? And it's good. You're going to tell me Rashi. It's good. We like that. Why does this person attack him? Secondly, it's missing a clause. This is the bad editing. It should have said, and Yaakov was all by himself, walking right a dark alley, and suddenly out of the shadows appeared a man, and the man jumped him, right? Do you notice what's missing here? Should I help you? Suddenly out of the shadows is what's missing. Vayivater Yaakov levado. So what does that mean? Yaakov is all by himself, and a man wrestled with him. So what are we missing? We're missing... So that's why I said bad editing. The next pasuk is no better. Actually, the next pasuk is worse. Vayar ki lo yochalo. He saw he couldn't defeat him. Anybody have a question? Who's the he and who's the him? I would not get away with this. And again, I've gone through behavior modification, which is called editing, and I write a sentence like this. I know that it will be corrected, and you have to put the names in. And you have to say, who is the he and he is the who. Vayar ki lo yochalo, v'yikach bekaf yirecho, and he was struck in his thigh, but who's he? Who was struck? Then it says, Vateka kaf yerech Yaakov bevkeimo. And Yaakov's thigh was hurt when he wrestled with him. So don't you realize that this pasuk could have been written in a much better way? So when I said before bad editing, I apologize. Okay? Get on good terms, I apologize. But I'm just point to point out that the pasuk is being written, or the psukim, the whole section, the parsha, is being written in a way which is deliberately difficult or deliberately enigmatic. And when something's being written in such a way, Omer Dersheni, it's okay, what's going on over here? On the one hand, the Rambam seems to be leaning in the direction that this whole section may really be very, very dreamlike because it's a dream. On the other hand, you can ask yourself, Yaakov with adrenaline pumping, he's about to meet with his brother the next day, did he really fall asleep or not? So as I said, we can leave that as a question. The Rambam seems to lead in that direction. Vayomer Shalcheni ke'olah ha-shachar. What's the problem with that pasuk? Who's speaking? Vayomer lo shechokim berachtani. I'm not going to let you go unless you bless me. Suddenly the bracha appears again. Okay. Vayomer lov mashemecha. What's your name? And again, we don't know who's speaking yet. Finally, now we can work backwards. Vayomer Yaakov. Okay, he says, I'm Yaakov. Vayomer lo Yaakov yimrocha. No, you're not Yaakov. This is wonderful. The guy's going to beat you and tell you who you really are. You're not Yaakov. You are Yisrael. Now, what does Rashi tell us about this adversary? Who is this adversary? It's Saro Shel Esav. It is the angel of Esav. Now, one question I have on this is, so why not just say, Saro Shel Esav showed up? We've had a lot of angels walking around. We have angels going up and down, ladders, this, all over. We have angels. We've had a lack of angels, and suddenly this angel can't have a name? So that's a little troubling. I think there is textual evidence to suggest to go in Rashi's or to defend Rashi. The other thing, which to my mind is incredibly interesting, and again, I have to say that because I have to amuse myself, but tell me a name of an angel. Any angel. Pick an angel. Michael, Gabriel, Raphael. You notice that they have something in common here? El. And Yaakov is told that your name is no longer Yaakov. Your name now will become Yisrael. So that is real interesting in terms of who this adversary is. So if Yaakov is able to defeat this angel, Yaakov becomes something else, and maybe even I can say that Yaakov becomes almost angelic or angel-like. But I said the name Yisrael here is very interesting in this particular context. But let me continue. It then says, "Unite Yisrael, ki sarita im Elohim ve'im anashim v'tuchal." You've struggled with the divine and with man, and you were victorious. Yaakov Shemecha. You go, tell me your name. Now you know that the angel is Jewish, actually. Vayomer, Lomazet Tashar Lashmi. Why are you asking me for my name? And I'll tell you, the whole thing is bizarre. Vayavarech Otosham, and he got the bracha. And if that's not bad enough, Yikra Yaakov Shema Kompni El, Kiriti Elohim Panim Upanim, I saw God. Where do you see God in all this? But Yizrach lo Hashemish, a beautiful poetic verse, and the sun rises, Kasheu Avaro Penuel, as it goes over the place called Penuel, Uhut Soleil, Yerchon Yaakov is limping. Al Kain, therefore, lo yochlu b'nei Yisrael gira nashe, Asher al kafa Yerechad Yaakov, Ada yom hazeh, kinogah b'kaf Yerech Yaakov gira nashe. And therefore, Jews till this very day don't eat the gira nashe, because Yaakov's gira nashe got hurt. First of all, you know, Israeli kids, they have a very nice saying, two words, Makesher. What is one thing after the other? So he hurt his thigh, we don't need to get a nusha. All that I have to say about this is Baruch Hashem, he didn't break any ribs. Right? That's Listen, no, I'm serious. That's a serious question. Imagine this. No more ribs. Here. So Baruch Hashem. What is the Gita Nashi have to do with anything in the whole? So, I want to say a very, very simple yesod. And don't get upset with me. This is why people got upset with me. Because I try to convince people this is pshat. I think we should take the psukim at face value. Exactly what it says. Vayivasa Yaakov Levado. Yaakov is all by himself. What does that mean, he's all by himself? That no one else is there. But if no one else is there, then who's he wrestling with? Well, it says who he wrestles with. Vayovik Ishimo. And he wrestles together with an ish. But who's the ish? Who's the ish? And now I have to pause. Now I have to pause for a second. First of all, there's a great passage in the Zohar that says that when Yaakov and Esav went in different directions, it says it was the time of Ne'ilah. It was Yom Kippur, the time of Ne'ilah. If that was the time of Ne'ilah, so what was the previous night? It was Kol Nidre night. So what do people do on Kol Nidre? What do people do on Yom Kippur? People start asking themselves questions, serious questions. What do they ask themselves? They ask, who am I? How did I become the person I am now? But it's more than that. I mean, we heard Yaakov say it. Yaakov says that when I crossed the river in the other direction, I walked across with only my stick in my hand, right? And now I come back. I've become somebody completely different. Yeah, now I've made money. Now I'm a different person. But I think Yaakov's undergoing an existential question, and that question is, who am I? Because Yaakov begins to resemble somebody who's very different from anybody who he recognizes or somebody who he wants to recognize. And that's part of the crisis which I would say that Yaakov is going through. And by the way, the fact that he's going back home is very significant. You know, when you're in yeshiva, or as the case may be, we'll pick on seminary girls. They're easier targets. They're easier targets. You know, people, you don't change every single day. Even though I know in some seminaries they look in the mirror and they say, mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the firmest one of all? And, no? I heard that's what happens. But you cannot gauge growth on a day-to-day basis. When can you see change that took place? So, for example, you go back home. You go back home and you feel very disoriented. Everything is very, very different. Yaakov goes back home and he notices the shift. He left as a poor yeshiva bacher, ish tam yoshevo olim, and he came back a guy who knows that Yaakov Avinu lo frayer. Yaakov knows ech listader in lovens of the world. He knows how to make a living now. He knows exactly how. He's not the same Yaakov that he used to be. But what scares him is that, this is what I've been saying the whole time, he took the bracha from Esav, and he's living two different lives, and maybe now there's far more Esav in him than he ever felt comfortable for. A matter of fact, there is a great pasuk, Perek Lamed Pasuk Mem Gimel, which is the pasuk which describes Yaakov Avinu becoming wealthy. It says, "Vayifrotz ha'ish ma'od ma'od." Do you catch that? What term does it use when Yaakov made a lot of money? And now we're told here, who is Yaakov wrestling with? Who is he struggling with? He's struggling with the ish. Or, now I'm going to say, again, as I said, I'm crazy. I'm totally convinced this is what Rashi meant. That's the sorrow shel Esav. The ish, who has all this money and all this power, this is what he got over from Esav. That's the sorrow shel Esav. But the sorrow shel Esav has taken over Yaakov, and he's looking at himself, and he asks, he goes, who am I? Am I Yaakov or am I Esav? What's going on over here? And Yaakov looks so much like Esav now that it's scary to him, and that's the struggle that he has. What's the resolution? But okay, stop. We'll get to the resolution in a minute. Who else makes the same mistake? Esav. Esav, after all these years, coming with an army, ready to kill him, he looks at him, and what does he see? He sees something he never saw before. What does he call him? He says, Achi, my brother. Esav finally has a brother. He never had a brother before. Who do you have? He had a loser named Yaakov. Now he's got a brother. There used to be ideological fights between the two. One's a yeshiva bacher, the other guy's a man of the field, or a guy in the real world. What does Esav look? He's got a brother. Yaakov is finally a brother. He goes, come, let's join forces. Like his father has always said, we'll join forces. Let's go march together. Which means, What Esav sees, the reason Esav doesn't kill him is because now he's no longer Yaakov, now he's Esav. That's why Esav doesn't kill him. The reason Yaakov got into a fight is because it's Esav. But Esav is him. Is this making any sense?
Yeah.
So what's the resolution? The resolution is the Gid Anoshim. Yaakov became somebody involved in the physical world, the Gashmiyat world, the world of Chomer. So what's the resolution? The resolution over here is the Gid Hanasha. And there are levels to this. There's a frightening midrash that says that a Gid Hanasha, which is close to the Makom Mila, that it represents the children of Jews who will be lost during the times of the Shmad. During times of persecution, there will be times that we will be so much like Esav that we will forget who we really are. And there's a price to pay for living Esav's life. But the resolution is finding Kedusha within the Chomer. Taking the Chomer and making it holy, which, by the way, was exactly what Yitzchak's plan was from the very beginning. Try to give it Kedusha. The resolution here is Kedusha, which is the Gid Anasha, a law of kosher, which now applies to the animals. Alkane, the Alkane over here is interesting. Okay, I'm skipping a couple steps, so let me go back so that you see this skipping steps. Esav says to Yaakov, let's march together. What does Yaakov say? That the stuff I have slows me down. That's the same metaphor, if you go backwards, to the struggle when his leg gets hurt. Slows down. Again, the struggle that takes place between Yaakov and the Sarashal Esav, something new emerges out of that. What's the new thing that emerges? Is Yisrael. Yisrael, which struggles with the divine and with man. You know, it's interesting. Rivka never calls Yaakov, Yaakov. Go through the whole Chumash. It's so funny how she avoids. It says, when Esav is born, Vayikruo, they both called him. When Yaakov is born, it says, Vayikrolo, he called him. In all the dialogue, she never calls him Yaakov once. She says, B'ni, Ben, which he, everything else, never calls him Yaakov. Why? Because he wasn't Yaakov. Yaakov is defined as in relationship to Esav, holding on to Esav's leg. Again, it's the leg again. So, I mean, back there when they're born, it's the leg, the struggle in the leg. Over here, it's the struggle in the leg. They meet up, and Esav says, come, let's go together. And Yaakov says, no, all the stuff slows me down. Which means it's... Esav says, Yeshlimi Rav, I got a lot of stuff. Yaakov says, I have everything I need. Yeshli Kol, I have everything I need. There's nothing that I'm missing. Esav's orientation to Olam Hazeh is, let's, you know, you have 100 million, you want 200 million. You have 500 million, you want a billion. That's Esav's approach. And Yaakov says, what I have, I have. Again, it's not that Yaakov is divorced from the world of physicality. It's that Yaakov sees that this world slows him down spiritually. That's exactly the point. That's what the Gid Anoshim is going to morph into. It slows him down physically in his body, and Alkane, and therefore the Jews need to add Kedusha when you're involved in something physical like eating meat. There needs to be laws of Kedusha over here as well. Slow down, don't just grab it and eat it. You need to get Anoshim to cut out, by the way, is the most time-consuming thing imaginable. In America, they're lazy, and lots of non-Jews, so they just cut off the whole thing and give it to somebody not Jewish. Traditionally, Jews cut off the Gid Anoshim, which really, slow down before you get to eat that meat. But it's this process. That's what Yaakov says. Everything slows down. Now, where does Yaakov go afterwards? Esav goes back to Seir. Where does Yaakov go to? It says Yaakov goes to Sukkot, and for his family he builds houses, and for the animals he builds Sukkot. This, as far as I know, is what the Zohar was working off of when they said before that it was Yom Kippur. How did the Zohar know it was Yom Kippur? Where do you end up after Yom Kippur? You end up by Sukkot. So therefore, the fact that Sukkot comes right afterwards, that's why right beforehand was Yom Kippur. That's what this is. But again, let's take it one step deeper. On Yom Kippur, we're involved in a struggle between life and death. On Yom Kippur, how do we survive? So the Ramban and the Ibn Ezra really quote the Pirkei Rabbi Elazar that says that we do, and it doesn't say so many words, what do? We give a bribe to the Sarashal Esav. It uses the exact same name, Samael, the Sarashal Esav. We give him a bribe, and what's that bribe called? The Sir Lazazel, which means what we do on Yom Kippur in terms of the Avodas Yom Kippurim is absolutely patterned after this. Yom Kippur, we struggle, who are we? Are we Yaakov or are we Esav? Who are we? What have we become? We then take gifts and give it to the Sarashal Esav. That's the Sir Lazazel. At that point, all of our sins are removed from us, and therefore we're able to survive. Yom Kippur is about life and death. After Yom Kippur, where do we get to? We get to Sukkot. What do we do on Sukkot? Sukkot is a holiday that, okay, what's the core of Sukkot? What? On Sukkot, okay, good. On Sukkot, when you take the Arba Minim, what are we praying for? Geshem. What's Geshem? Geshem is Gashmias. What's Geshem? It rains, things grow. You have more money in your pockets. That's what Geshem is. So on Sukkot, we pray for Geshem. What do we do at the exact same time that we pray for Geshem? We pray for Gashmias. We walk out of our houses, and we live in a temporary abode in a Dir Asarai. So again, what is the Jew's orientation to Gashmias? On the one hand, it's necessary. We need it. We need it. On the other hand, don't take it too seriously. Don't live for it. I mean, it's not the goal in life. Esav lives for it. Yaakov, on the other hand, feels it slows me down. Spiritually, it slows me down. Doesn't mean that I have to run away from it. That's the resolution. The resolution is Yaakov ends up by building a sukkah. Building a sukkah means it's a Dir Asarai. He builds a sukkah for what? For all the animals, for all of his wealth. That means all of the wealth is a Dir Asarai. He understands that all of this is temporary. It's not eternal. It's not really what it is. But that's the resolution. The resolution is the continue as well, and the resolution is the holiday of Sukkot. Yaakov's the first one who has the holiday of Sukkot. So the resolution is Sukkot, which means at the exact same time that I pray for Gashmias, again, Yom Kippur we pray for life or death. On Sukkot we pray for quality of life. At the same time we pray for quality of life, you walk out of our houses and say, we know the whole thing is a joke. We need all this, but it's not the most important thing in life. And that dichotomy between needing the physical and realizing the physical is not the most important thing, and the reality is being tachas kanfei ashchina, that's really what we need in life. That resolution is exactly the resolution that Yaakov gets to. And say, that's the idea of the Sarah Shel Esav. As far as the bracha for the Gashmias and all, he's ready to give it all back. He bows down to him, he gives him gifts, he gives him everything. What happened to the Esav that we love and feared? Esav melted because he saw himself. And by the way, if you think about it, there's a Sir Lashem and Sir Lazazel. What are those two? What does the mission say those two serums should be like? They should look exactly the same. They should look like twins. They should look just like one another. But one of them goes Lashem and one of them goes Lazazel. And even though that they look, and if you want to know the first person to bring two goats in, that's actually when Yaakov walks in to Esav, to Yitzchak, that's what he brings him. And the Midrash says that this will be good for you and good for your children in the future, that this is where the Seir Lazazel is, the Seir Lashem and Seir Lazazel is going to come from. Which means that in terms of, you know, the deeper machshava of what's over here, Yaakov is struggling with himself, but this part of himself that he's struggling with is the Sarah Shel Esav. According to this, Yaakov disappears, and Yisrael, who's like a malach, he sees the malachim going up and down. Yisrael comes like a malach. He's able to get into the clouds. He's able to climb up. And the Medrash says, when the angels get up to based in Shamala, they see on the Kisei HaKavod, they see Yaakov. That's what they see. They see the partsuf of Yaakov on the Kisei HaKavod. Yaakov is able to get his heads up into the clouds. He's able to get up. Right, his feet on the ground, but his head's in the clouds. That's the sum of Yaakov. That's Yaakov Avinu. That's what Yaakov's able to do. Huh. Is it easy? Absolutely not. Is it a struggle? Absolutely. What's the resolution? He becomes Yisrael, which I'm saying is almost Malach-like. Okay? I didn't say it too far. It's almost Malach-like. Yaakov is fighting with himself and the side of himself, which is like Esav, which is the Sarah Shel Esav. He's fighting with the power of Esav, but Yaakov defeats the power of Esav, and that's what gives the Jews every single year the ability of defeating the Sarah Shel Esav. And what do? We follow Yaakov's strategy. We give him the gifts. We give him the bribes. We bribe him, and at that point, he doesn't act as a mikatreg against Am Yisrael. And what do? Afterwards, we go, and this is exactly Pirkei Avos. Zohar says this is all. What do we do right afterwards? We go and we celebrate with God our victory, and that's Sukkot. We go and we celebrate with God. Let's celebrate the victory that we had by defeating Esav and the Sarah Shel Esav. What's the resolution? The resolution is Yisrael. What's the resolution? The resolution is Sukkot. What's the resolution? Is that we take the Chomer, but we give Kedusha to the Chomer. It slows us down a little bit, but it makes our lives much more meaningful. Zel.